Hey, welcome in. Time for our daily editorial. National holiday today. We're going to get the State of the Union address. What did you buy your wife to put under the tinsel tree? Anyway, I bought my kids new cars, so you just, you know, because I know it's going to be so good, and I know it's just going to get better and better and better. Having said that, was all over the Liberty Daily and Citizen Free Press this morning. We're going to first talk about an article that was in the Liberty Daily by Brian, I can't pronounce this, Jenniff. It's called Why Have So Many People Died Suddenly? And they just give a couple of examples, first of all. Just a few. Number one, in Australia, a totally fit and healthy 21-year-old son died suddenly in her sleep. From the University of Arizona, a recent member of Arizona's swim team has unexpectedly passed away. In Detroit, a school basketball player suffered a cardiac arrest during a basketball game, and when they restarted his heart, still didn't wake up. And then, of course, there was DeMar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills player, who collapsed on the field. That was actually televised. Then you've got, last but not least, probably the one that's going to get the most press now, is Thailand is suing Pfizer. The princess of Thailand, still in a coma, if I'm not mistaken. This is one that Pfizer cannot blow under the rug, Jim.
Right, and I'll just, as I mentioned to you off mic, the Thai people absolutely worship their monarchy. They love the king, they love the queen and the royal family. They're very important to them traditionally.
Right.
That's the one thing. There's a lot of crazy politics in Thailand between the left and the right, or they actually the red shirts and the yellow shirts. They get into these massive fights. But one thing that they really, really respect is the monarchy, and the way that they usually solve issues is by trusting in the monarchy. And of course, the princess is very well respected. She's had, apparently, she's, you know, relatively young, she's had three heart attacks. And what they're saying is it may be a result of, as they're investigating, it may be a result of vaccination status.
Yeah.
And of course, this article with, it's actually a Rasmussen Reports article, and it's talking about the, you know, the polling that they've done, and so many people have identifying that they know someone they believe had died unexpectedly because of potential vaccination.
Uh-huh.
Not because of COVID, but because of potential vaccination, is interesting. But the real deep part of this article, which is really important, and again, it's in Rasmussen Reports. It's called Why Have So Many People Died Suddenly? I think you should look at it. All you got listeners should be looking at it. It talks about the difference in the deaths, statistical difference between the deaths in 2021 and 2022 compared to 1966 and 2004, where they're kind of making those adjustments. And it looks like the average number of deaths on an annual basis is 1,700 times higher, or I should say on a monthly basis, 17 times higher than the monthly average between 1966 and 2004.
Amazing.
1,700% higher. That's a monthly average. Very, very strange. This is something that needs to be looked at. And of course, as we're seeing more and more information coming out on the negativity of the vaccinations, and of course the inability to stop the spread or to actually benefit you, and then this push by the pharmaceutical companies and the government, this Biden regime, to force people to take boosters. They're still advertising that, even though almost all studies have shown that there's no positive effect by taking the boosters. And most studies show that you are more likely to get COVID with the boosters. Very interesting article. Very, very important, I think, for people to understand and to see what's happening out there. And of course, we've got to push more on officials and, you know, question more in the media and in other areas to say what is going on here, rather than just letting this go.
Yeah. Well, I think what's really interesting about the timing of this article is over at Citizen Free Press, Jonathan Turley's article was published. It's right now number one on Citizen Free Press. The article is entitled Congress is Set to Expose What May Be the Largest Censorship System in U.S. History. Elon Musk has really, really opened a hornet's nest, and I got to compliment him for doing that. I think it's really interesting. This is the type of article that is now commonplace in what I would call very credible publications, Jim.
Yeah, obviously, Jonathan Turley, very well-respected lawyer and law professor at, I think, George Washington University, I believe. But his, you know, he's becoming a lot more, he's questioning the propaganda in government much more. And he's basically a Democrat, and he's been pretty, you know, pretty leftist for a long period of time. But what he's starting to understand is how much the government has become involved, and what he's seeing and writing about is this woke policy and how much the government's been involved in silencing voices. And he points in this article to the Twitter files showing that the FBI operation to monitor and censor social media content. And it was so overwhelming and intrusive that even the Twitter staff complained about it, that they're pushing everyone. And of course, when it comes down to the amount of involvement that the FBI was having, I mean, Twitter was doing a massive job to silence and cover up different objectives. So much so that the government actually reimbursed them for $3.5 million worth of work.
Wow.
But according to many people, that it didn't cover anywhere near the expense of the effort they went to silence conservative voices and anything that went against what the government narrative was.
Yeah.
And of course, this is becoming a big issue with a Republican-controlled House.
Well, sure
about
it is.
About ready to do investigations on the weaponization of government. And, of course, you know, censorship is a key element. As I've argued from the beginning, that's where they have to go.
Yeah.
Where the Congress, Jim Jordan, I think, will be the chair of this committee to oversee it. And then they'll open up the doors to what's been going on. But this is only Twitter. We're not talking about what the government was involved with YouTube, with Google,
right,
with you know, Instagram, with all the other social media sites, and what they've been doing with the national media outlets like CBS, ABC, NBC,
yep,
MSNBC. So as this opens up, this could be the biggest issue, and I think it is the most important and the biggest issue in our history when it comes to free speech and the potential, hopefully, indictments and penalties for people that were using the government directly against the First Amendment and taking away people's civil rights and civil liberties by censoring information.
Yeah.
And both free speech as well as manipulating the press.
Well, I think it's about time, and I really applaud Liberty Daily for, I really applaud Jonathan for writing this article, but I also have to say that I applaud Liberty Daily for publishing it, and the reason I do is we hear very little about censorship in what I would call the credible free press. Notice I said credible. Any comments here, Jim?
Yeah, I think you're seeing more and more in the, you know, more conservative press outlets, because they were the ones that were silenced. But what you're also seeing is the dispersion of information through these small outlets and small sites. I mean, ours is one example of it. You know,
yeah,
we continue to talk on these issues, and many, many others are beginning to talk on these issues, which are forcing a dialogue because they're getting a wider reach than the mainstream outlets in some respects.
Yeah.
Ultimately, though, ABC, NBC, CBS News, you know, they're in the 8 to 10 million, 12 million people watch a day. And that's actually more than cable news, more than MSNBC and CNN.
Yeah.
CNN has fallen off the charts. I mean, they have almost no viewership anymore. MSNBC still appeals to a very, you know, leftist, partisan, actually racist crowd. And of course, the networks have been very involved, ABC, Disney, NBC, and CBS, in silencing so many different narratives and failing to do any digging on information. And it just shows the incompetence and the inability of these companies to actually have any thorough research, and they've become voices of propaganda for the government.
Well, it's really turned into that. And what the one comment I would make about the opposition party, to us anyway, the Democrats, is I can't believe they had to know that once this thing got successful, the censorship deal got successful, which it is right now in their minds, that it was going to get shut down because there are too many conservatives in the United States who are incredibly intelligent, who will do all that they can, as Jonathan Turley is doing, to really put a stop to what's going on, Jim.
Well, you know, they're counting on more and more control, right?
You're talking about the Democrats.
I'm talking about the influencers that are trying to achieve power through this.
Okay.
And the unfortunate part about it is it's not just Democrats. It's also mainstream Republicans that take money from these large corporations. Because remember, they all lobby both sides of the aisle. And some of them are unwilling to push these points. And we've seen that with Mitch McConnell. We even saw it with Kevin McCarthy until just recently. He had to agree to these deals because of the Freedom Caucus pressure for him to get elected into the leadership, House leadership position. Had he not needed these people, had he not needed those votes, my thought is he probably would have gone business as usual like Mitch McConnell's doing in the Senate. But he needed these votes to get the House speakership.
Yeah.
It's very symptomatic. What's happening here in South Carolina is a similar story. The difference is, so the South Carolina legislature has a supermajority in the House and the Senate of Republicans. There are 20 Republicans of the 88 in the House that are Freedom Caucus members here. Because the Republicans still have a majority without those Freedom Caucus members, they've actually kicked them out of the caucus.
Yeah.
So Freedom Caucus, people that believe in the Constitution, the state Constitution, that believe, and we're not talking about Trump supporters, because some of these, in fact, the co-chair, I just talked to him last week, he is not a Trump supporter. We're talking about people.
And we're talking about the co-chair of what committee, Jim?
Of the Freedom Caucus in the South Carolina legislature.
All right.
And this is equivalent to Matt Gaetz or someone on the national, the congressional national level. The Freedom Caucus really pushed back and forced a vote for Kevin McCarthy, forced him to accede to requiring this weaponization of government counsel and other investigations, right?
Yeah.
So that pressure was important. What my experience in South Carolina is, if we would have had too big of a congressional victory in November, Kev, with a bunch of new Republicans, had we got what most people expected to be a 30 to 50 seat increase, they wouldn't have needed the 20 people in the House, in the Freedom Caucus to vote for Kevin McCarthy to come in,
right.
And he may have gotten in and not started any of the investigations.
Yeah.
So actually, that's a benefit that there weren't that many, there wasn't that much control in the House by Republicans, new Republicans, because it actually forced these investigations. These investigations are absolutely critical to the future. And as I see in South Carolina, there's still the Freedom Caucus has power and has some influence, but they're basically kicked out of caucus and they can't do the same things that the National Freedom Caucus has done because of the power that they've had. So interesting political dynamic here, what's happening.
Yeah, Jimmy, let's change the subject. What do you think about the article that was in the Daily Mail? This rancher by the name of George Kelly, 73 years old, he's charged with murder because there was a fellow who has been involved in multiple illegal crossing into the United States and multiple deportations, went on George's property, and George took out his rifle and shot him, killed him.
We don't know all the details.
I'm sorry?
We don't know all the details.
No, that's true. But the fact of the matter is the bail was set at $1 million. And even though his wife is now totally alone, George is not there, judge refused to reduce the bail, which to me, that not knowing any details, but you see all the signs around, even my neighborhood, posted trespassers will be shot, etc., etc. Doesn't that obviate? I don't even know if this guy had those posters on his land, but doesn't that obviate any?
It doesn't. The posters are irrelevant. What is relevant is whether or not there was a threat to his life.
Yeah.
And if he felt threatened and there was enough evidence to show that he's threatened, then he should not be arrested. But this is the ramification of Democrat control of Arizona in the attorney general's office and other areas. Now, we don't know the details. We don't know what the justification was in this case. But, you know, on the surface, you would think, hey, there's a threat. He protected himself and his family.
Yeah.
And that should be a legitimate use of self-defense. At the same time, we don't know what the records were. If this guy was walking backwards or going away from him or something like that, murder is really not justifiable in any case. So we don't know. But overall, it appears to me, just based on the initial facts, that there may be some justification for self-defense. And we'll see if how this turns out. But it is a problem around the nation when you've got literally 5 to 6 million illegal immigrants crossing the borders every day. I mean, not every day, every year, since 2021 when Biden took office.
Yeah.
We're going to hear tonight, on the president's, there's a couple things he'll talk about, I'm sure.
Tonight.
One will be he's going to lie about the economy. He's going to say what a great job he's done. When in fact, when you look at the jobs production, actually, we haven't even reached what we, the 20 million jobs that we dropped in March of 2020 because of the COVID shutdowns.
Right.
The inflation is still way up there. So you're going to hear a lot of lies about that.
Yes, you are. I know that.
You're going to hear, about national security and how tough he was. You're going to hear about, what he's doing to stop the border.
Right.
You're going to hear a lot of information that is going to be skewed. The problem is so many people, just mindless idiots, still believe what they hear from both the networks as well as out of this White House mouth. And it's
Jim, we're getting on in time. I just want to say one thing, and then I'd like to turn it over to you again. I was in Costco yesterday. I had to get my hearing aids replaced. Boy, that's a one hell of an investment. And I walked over to the book department because I was looking for some James Patterson books. I'm a real Patterson fan, and there were a ton of books in there that had not been published yet. Really new books, and I was really interested in that. And then my gaze kind of went over to the right, and I saw a book called Never Give an Inch, The Story of Mike Pompeo. I read the leaf on that. And I'm going to read it to you right now. He's the only person ever to have served as both America's most senior diplomat and the head of its premier espionage agency. As the only four-year national security member of President Trump's candidate, he worked to impose crushing pressure on the Islamic Republic of Iran. I got to tell you, James Patterson was put on a back burner, and I bought this book. I started reading it last night. Anybody who has access to this book, anyway, you got to read it. It talks about a hero, a real hero, who philosophically is exactly of the same mentality as Jim and I, and I would have to say all of our bloggers. Do you have any comments on that, Jim?
I think, Mike Pompeo did a very respectable job as director of the CIA. I know a lot of people are going to freak out because they really just can't stand the CIA, but he did a great job as Secretary of State as well. And I think he was consistent. I think he's been consistent. He was a West Point graduate. He was actually the cadet commander there. So that's no easy feat. He was a congressman. He's done a lot, and I think he was effective because he stood on his morals. And he stayed loyal, I think, to the president, and I think he still is at this point.
Yeah, I do too.
The book is a preparation. It's, of course, his words, so he's going to sound very good in his words.
Yeah.
He's preparing for a run for the presidency. We see that. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Because, again, he'll be going against, Donald Trump, who has a very committed, loyal following, and it's going to be hard to break that.
He does.
So.
I got to tell you, Jimmy, I really hope that Trump gets really organized and he makes some changes so people's opinion of him perhaps is altered a bit in a positive sense. That's all I can say.
And here's what I'm going to say to that, because I'm so tired of hearing this.
I know you are, Jim.
Because here's the deal. The entire time before he was in office, in his campaign and through, he was completely maligned by the media.
I realize
they did a phenomenal job of painting him as a certain way. Now, he has a tremendous ego. There's no question about it. That's what's actually made him successful. And what bothers me is it's been 2 years since he's been on Twitter,
right.
And he hasn't done anything on Twitter, and he said a few things that maybe are marginally questionable. For the most part, in the last 2 years, he's done a very good job in getting out information, although it offends some people because he starts going after potential political rivals. Certainly DeSantis is one. But he's been fairly careful with it, but the media again is trying to spin it away. So everybody ought to stop and say, you know what, I'm going to quit listening to the BS. It was so manipulated and maligned before. And let's look at the details. Let's look at the policies. And the most important thing he can do when he gets in office is put in the Schedule F and get rid of the embedded leftist ideologues that Obama had put in place and in power, and that, of course, Biden still has control over now.
Yeah. I just say, Jim, I don't disagree with you. I just say, in a perfect world, if he could somehow change his image, and you're bringing up the fact, and it's very true, that the press is not going to let him do that. But if he could, so people really knew what kind of man he was, I would really like to see that happen, but I don't think it will. I agree with you, Jim. Now, you had some things you wanted to bring up, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. We're getting close on time, I'm sure. I don't know
how. Go ahead.
Yeah, but so I wanted to bring up this Natalie Winters article that is basically Pfizer's chief vaccine officer advised U.S. government on redrafting gain-of-function research policy. And her article basically outlines very specifically how a Pfizer senior researcher at Pfizer's Philip Dormitzer was involved in the efforts in 2015 and 2016 to reshape gain-of-function authorities or research to kind of make it more acceptable after the U.S. government in 2014 said they needed to stop it because of the risks. And, of course, what he was doing, and according to this article and some very specific information that she provides in the article from comments on what he was doing in this group to advise on changing gain-of-function policy, he wanted to be more lax on that. And, of course, we've just seen this video that came out from Project Veritas with the Pfizer mRNA doctor talking about how they're still trying to naturally increase the lethality or the danger of this vaccine so they can create more vaccines and a self-licking ice cream cone. In my view, this needs to come out. It is incredibly dangerous, and the people at Pfizer need to go to jail for a long time. And the people that were involved in this gain of function process, like Anthony Fauci, they need to be held accountable. And from my view, if there's enough evidence there, government officials that blocked information, that manipulated the system in order to continue gain of function research and potentially had any linkage to this Wuhan coronavirus, and then the implications in the vaccination process afterwards, those people, if found guilty, need to go to jail for a long time.
Right.
Because in fact, they have done so much damage economically, socially, mentally, and physically to this world. With the numbers we were talking about in the first part of this speech, with the number of potential people that have died, quote, unexpectedly.
Yeah, it's getting pretty big.
This is crazy. And if they're not held accountable, people will do it again.
Yeah.
And of course, this all links back into censorship and silencing people's voices that are bringing up this. All these people that screamed conspiracy theory, all the media outlets that screamed conspiracy theory, the FBI and the DOJ that were silencing people because they were screaming conspiracy theory, it turns out that those conspiracy theories were actually accurate representations, or at least partially right.
Well, people needed to know. It's very sad what's going on. The only result of what's going on that I'm very happy with your expertise, Jim, with your knowledge of the topic, with my enthusiasm, and with our bloggers, we definitely have the best political site where people can express their opinions to increase other people's, I would have to say, knowledge. We have the best site on the web, in my opinion. You're on, Jim. Anytime you're done, we can cut it. We're at 26 minutes.
Yeah, I just, you know, I want to follow up because I don't know if anybody goes back and reads the comments after, you know, we post the new, the new show. But the whole idea, what I said yesterday, and I want to make this clear, I was talking about winning a war and, you know, Russia, Ukraine. I will make this very clear. Nobody wins in any war. I want to make that clear.
Nobody,
I don't believe,
Jimmy, I couldn't hear
nobody
you.
Wins any war.
Right.
No, there's no side that wins. It's right. Only which side loses less and gains what they want out of it. Everybody loses in war.
Right.
The ones that come out maybe a little bit advantageous. I mean, the United States lost over 250,000 young men and women, mostly men, in World War II.
Yeah.
You can call us victorious, but we didn't win. We lost a lot of people. The Russians lost millions of people in World War II. They didn't win. They just didn't lose as badly as the Nazis did.
Yeah.
In Russia and Ukraine right now, in that battle, nobody is ever going to win because so many casualties are out there. But some of our listeners are looking at data and looking at different sites that are actually providing them with absolutely bizarre numbers and facts.
Yeah,
and I think they really need to open their eyes and say, you know, accept what reality is, because you can count by picture how many weapons have been destroyed by Russian equipment. And of course, the number of casualties is just devastating on all sides. Yeah. So nobody's winning this thing. The Russians clearly have not achieved their objectives in the last 11, almost 12 months.
I agree.
So it's going to be tough for them.
Agreed, Jimmy. I do agree with that. Okay, we're going to be back tomorrow. Obviously, we're going to be reminiscing, I guess is probably the appropriate word, opining is a better word, on Biden's State of the Union speech tonight.
Possibly laughing, I would think.
Possibly, you never know. You never know. James, thank you so much, man.
You bet. Take care, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.